do with an arts degree. I'm still not sure I know. I skipped 3 years worth of lectures just to binge watch your full shows. There must be some scholarship for accruing worthless knowledge. It's my only talent, honey. That and losing money. Let your excess hex debts rest and then just join us while we start on our bachelor.
Hello! And welcome back to the Bachelor of Hearts podcast, the Bachelor Australia podcast that asks the question, Xavier, are you feeling better?
I am now, yes. Thank you for asking.
You have been unwell for such a time, my friend, and it has not been because of the thing that everyone would think that it might be because of, the virus.
No, yeah. As I often say when I begin an episode, my name is Xavier Urbetsky Noonan, and I love The Bachelor. I love shitting for a week straight, and I hate the coronavirus.
My word. This has been a long time coming, this episode. We were thinking about maybe...
Sorry, just to clarify, it was a long time shitting.
Yeah. We think about maybe a guest co-host to try and get this out. We reached out. People were unavailable. We couldn't make it work. Instead, where we have landed is here with my friend Xavi, who is feeling better.
I'm doing well. It's very nice of you to check in. I have had... I've been going back and forth on the right words to describe it because I feel like some terminology is sugarcoating it too much, but it's like different circumstances call for different things. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I just want to say like, oh, I've got a tummy bug, you know? Oh, I've got a funny tummy or something. And I'm like, oh, little old me? Oh, nothing.
Professional context.
Yeah, that's even just me being like the world's biggest sweetie pie, just being like, you know. I don't want you to think about what's actually happening. I just want you to think about me, like, lying in bed, sucking my thumb, going like, goo-goo, something's bad.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, bent over, holding your stomach.
Right, yeah. And then I get into, like, I guess, like, stomach bug is the one that I settled on because it does, like, if you're an imaginative person, you can picture.
That's right.
What I was experiencing was that something was alive inside me and it was, like, you know, weaving its web in an ever deadlier sort of trap. Growing day by day.
Listener, it is a bug's life here on the Bachelor of Hearts.
But I'm better,
podcast,
I'm better.
Where Xavi is better and...
You're not going to get sick from listening to this.
Emergency. We have 3 new bachelors to talk about. You, listener, my friend Xavier RN, who loves being healthy and hates the coronavirus, and me, Max Quinn, are getting into it together today. I have been on the deepest of dives while Xavi has been unwell. I am so excited to introduce to you our 3 new bachelors and let you in on everything, and I mean everything, that I have found out about them.
Before we go any further, we should acknowledge that today we are recording on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and acknowledge that sovereignty of that land was never ceded and that always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Let's put some twigs in the nest. Xavi, we are going to make the bed, fluff some pillows. Last week, we were shocked to wake up to the announcement that Channel 10 has unveiled 3 more bachelors for a record-breaking 2nd consecutive season of The Bachelors, the 11th installment of the Australian Bachelor series overall.
And can I say, and I'm not going to get into too much detail because I think our listeners deserve better, but this was like... Right as I was realizing that this was not an overnight situation. You know what I mean? Like, you know when you're getting sick?
You woke up at 11 o'clock, which is so unusual for you. I texted you at like 8 a.m. being like, get this. Yeah. And I heard from you and you were like, oh, I've just woken up.
Yeah, and I truly thought I had, like, this was some kind of fever dream. They knew. Like, it was, we did not think that this announcement or that an announcement from The Bachelor was coming. There was no indication.
No indication that this series would even be continuing, but they are running it back with 3 more dudes. We don't know when the series will air. I will reveal to you later in the episode what I believe the production dates for this season are. But to begin with, I want to put my hand up. I thought that this was for sure cancelled. I thought that The Bachelor, Bachelors, was destined to flail in obscurity in Australia forever. I was wrong.
I at least thought that we were going to be sitting on our asses waiting around for months and months and months going, I wonder, will they announce something at this? Will they announce something at this? Will we hear anything about it? Will anything leak out? Whatever. They have managed to get so far ahead of the curve that we didn't even know that there was a curve.
You know, what we talked about a couple of weeks ago was that the series was packing up its things and moving to Melbourne, which gave us some indication that, yes, the series would be returning. But at that time, we really didn't know too much about what was going on. Xavi, I know that you know a small amount. The way we've gone with this is that I feel like I've done a lot of research over the last few weeks, so it's probably better for you to set the scene here.
Right. Okay. So just, listener, just so you know, like Max has taken on the big brain side of the operation. Max has learned everything there is possible to know. Max, you've done, I know this to be true. Max has done a lot of research and learning and has uncovered depths of this thing that I don't think anybody else on the planet has.
And I think that you know this because I have sent you just the most incremental, incidental screenshots over the past couple of weeks being like, can you believe this?
Just fractions of things that I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking at and you have to explain them to me. So I'm thrilled that I'm with you, listener, in that I have seen a tiny bit of stuff. I saw the announcement on social media. I saw the post go up on the 10Play website where for the first time I was able to tell which one of the names lined up with which one of the three men and a couple of just spare details in there. You know, we know the other thing that I watched was the three men appearing on The Project in a spot that...
What was that like?
Look, it lasted like 3.5 minutes. So I got to hear maybe two sentences from all of them. And so if anything valuable came up from that, it has mostly left my memory. But I'll sprinkle in any details that I remember as we go. But here's the stuff that we know, right? We know the show is going to take place in Melbourne, Victoria for the first time. We talked about this a bit already. I guess like the blast of funding from the Queensland state government was a one-off. And, you know, plenty of untapped potential in Queensland, plenty of untapped potential in New South Wales. But I think Melbourne has heaps to offer the show. I think this will be an interesting backdrop. We know that The Bachelor is very curious about all the different sides of Melbourne, for example, coffee.
That's right. And coffee also.
And also coffee, yes. We know correct for certain that Gold Logie nominee Osher Ginsberg is back as host and resident Cupid to help things along. Another big thing we know is that the show will definitely, or at least plan is right now, that the show will be airing on Channel 10 and 10Play. So, you know, there was some doubt about this or some, you know, speculation that it might follow the lead of Love Island Australia, which is now only digital, you know, streaming on demand. So this means that broadcast TV ratings will probably be a part of the conversation again, for better or worse, on both this podcast and, like, you know, the doomsayers, you know, just yelling that the show should have been cancelled years ago and that kind of thing, right?
And isn't it funny that that wasn't part of the conversation for Love Island? I just want to put that out there. Maybe that there is a market for this after all, given that they are running it back for season 11 of The Bachelor, season 2 of The Bachelors. I think that might be all the preamble that we need. And Xavi, since you have been sick, I have decided to eschew the format. We are not going to do a Batch World catch-up. There is no F-Boy Island news for you other than to say that the whole cast has their socials back and Vernon is going buck wild on IG stories.
Doesn't count as news. Listener, because, of course, right?
Outside of that, we have got nothing for you but three hot men. Let's meet them. But, Zave, I want to give you the cheesy breakfast radio version of how we're going to do this. Are you ready?
Okay. What does that mean? As far as Max Quinn goes, this could be anything.
Coming up, have you ever sued Netflix? We'll meet the bachelor who's been there and done that.
Wow.
Plus, I'll introduce you to a bachelor who, according to one newspaper, is all caps not gay. And a bachelor from a controversial Australian megachurch who owns a giant hammock.
Okay. Interesting.
All that and more coming up on the Bachelor of Hearts podcast. Of course, I'm being quite deliberately clandestine in describing them in this way, and I promise you that there is important context hiding around every corner. But this, listener, is everything we know so far about our new bachelors.
I think it might be worthwhile just talking about the things that haven't been announced as part of this media blitz, because they've covered some bases quite specifically, but they have definitely avoided talking about and doing some other things. And I think I just want to quickly set the table on that. So, like, first of all, and quite obviously, we don't know when this season is going to air, and we also don't know when we're going to find out when this season will air, right? That's true. A mystery. That'll be another big announcement down the line. We're looking forward to it. But as far as we're, like, recording this right now, it could be days from now. It could be weeks, months. It could be early next year. There's not really a pattern in place. You know, last time we were introduced to three bachelors, it was 6 months after that before we even got a premiere date. And then it was another couple of months until it actually did premiere. Now, that
this is
seemed
true.
Like an accident or some kind of mistake or something at the time.
I think it was too,
but
yes.
But who's to say that's not the new pattern? You know what I mean? Unclear. We also haven't been pushed towards any new, like, social media handles or any new hashtags. The Bachelor Australia has not joined Threads. The official... I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them. Everyone's
I love that
you
looked that up. That's great. Thank you. I didn't think to go through Threads.
I mean, that was literally
in my research.
The first thing I did when I joined Threads. an app which I'm now basically not looking at. Is Threads still happening?
Me neither. Yeah. No, I couldn't tell you.
The official Bachelor Nation Australia TikTok has not seen any kind of post or update since February. Ironically, that post, the most recent one, shows Jed and Alesia literally riding off into the sunset together.
Oh,
a
no.
couple who are no longer together. And yeah, we don't know how many of the changes that we saw introduced last time, be they obvious or subtle, you know, be they the construction and design of the series as a whole, or be they sort of ideological, philosophical things behind the camera informing how the show will be made. We don't know how many of those are going to be embraced and be affecting the show this time around, or at least I don't. Maybe you have some more insight into that.
I don't have any insight into production outside of when I think that they are filming, but I do reckon that based on the fact that we aired this season in January and by July, we know that it is coming back, that there was some success there, and that I think that there is, let's say, based on only anecdotal evidence, reason for them to return to some of the elements that proved successful last time.
Yes. Yeah, it's fun. We tossed around which one of us was going to do the ask the question at the start of this podcast. And my ask the question was going to be, they wanted more? Like they, you know, they said,
yeah.
They said more, please. They thought the last season was
three
real
more
good.
Of them.
I'm a little surprised by that, but there's reasons for them to want to pursue that same thing. And whatever it is that we get, I'm sure will be a little bit different. I also want to note just really briefly that I've not dived anywhere near as deep as you have, Max, online just yet. But so far from what I've seen, I have not seen, and I hope that this is not true for you, but you might well agree with me, I have not seen one single person, a single soul, who is looking forward to this thing.
Yeah,
like at least,
that's, I mean...
You know, because normally there are some, like, nasty comments from people who are saying, like, oh, the show hasn't been good for years, and then they don't technically necessarily agree on when the last time the show was good was, but there's the attitude that, like, you know, but I have searched a fair bit, like just scrolling through comments and stuff, and like literally outside of people who are on The Bachelor or the WB or the Channel 10 payroll, I don't know if anybody has seen this announcement and gone like, goody, yum, yum, more of this, please. Well, I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Me too.
I always get a huge amount of value out of doing this show, even if it's like, even the show could get so much worse before we have nothing to talk about, you know?
In fact, I think that would give us more to talk about.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah. But I do think they, you know, this is the initial welcome back, you know, hello world, there will be more Bachelor kind of thing that they're doing.
Mm.
I think they have to try a little bit harder than they have done so far to get me and certainly to get other people genuinely interested in the show.
I disagree.
Okay, well, this is good. And I want you to disagree. I know, obviously, Maxi, you've done a lot of the hard work for them. But what's appealing to you? What's getting you excited?
Well, so what's happening here is what I would think is called a soft launch, right? Channel 10 have got the media property The Bachelor, and we need to raise a small amount of awareness that this in the zeitgeist is coming back. What that means is sending out a press release and knowing that that press release is going to get recycled by countless websites, yeah. Right? Knowing that those websites are going to publish that to their social media and hoping that those websites have the audiences that will ladder up eventually to brand recognition, to excitement, to whatever. I have not seen it, same as you, in my social sphere, but at the same time, I feel like everything that has needed to have been done in terms of a media rollout has happened. Mm. The Bachelors have been on the project. All of the Channel 10 properties that are at their disposal, they are making use of. Whether it is effective strategy or not is up for debate. But at least to this point, I think that everything that could be made of this so far has been made of it. And I think that the point at which we are really looking to, let's say, engage an audience broader than the diehards, than the you and me's, yeah, and the Bachelor of Hearts podcast listeners, is a time when we're ready to unveil a launch video, when we're ready to go on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. This is more for the heads.
That's exactly right. Yes, I think that that's where we're at, and I'm excited to introduce you to these men. Are you ready, Xavier, or do you have more unknowns that you would like to put out into the ether?
I'm so ready. This is what I've been waiting for. Because, as I said, I'm not feeling incredibly overwhelmingly optimistic about this, but that's because I've seen, like, a picture and a couple of sentences.
Right.
And what I want is something a little bit juicier that I can really get my hooks into and figure out, like, what the fuck is actually going on with these three people, especially
what
they don't want us to know about, you know?
And I know so much of that. I am so ready to introduce you to these men, beginning with Wesley Senna Cortez. If you are looking at the press pick that Channel 10 have released, Wesley is the one on the left. And I want to start with the pronunciation. I believe that it is Wesley rather than what we might say as Wesley.
Okay, interesting. Yep, fair enough. Let's try and get that right. Are you sure it's not We Slay?
Yeah, maybe it is.
Hard to say.
And I want to continue with how he's been described by Mamma Mia, one of several outlets who rinsed and recycled the press release that Channel 10 sent out about the new season in the name of SEO.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they introduce us to Wesley is wild. They say, adding some spice to this year's season is Brazilian influencer Wesley Senna Cortez. We love the way his name rolls off the tongue.
Oh, you shouldn't do this. No.
Far be it from me to begin your edification, listener, on the three new Bachelors with a critique of microaggression in modern media, but for fuck's sake. Mm. What I would like, and I am just spitballing here, I'm wondering, Xavi, if you and I could please try to go more than three words without exoticizing our one non-white series lead. What do you think about that? Could that be done?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
How would you like to describe what you think of Wesley so far?
Okay. What do I know about him? I saw him on the project. He has a beautiful smile.
Yep.
He's very handsome. I like his facial hair. He has, like, seemingly good style. He's broadly generic looking type
that's
of
enough.
Fellow.
You've done it.
Yeah.
Broadly generic looking type of fellow would have been welcome.
Yeah.
Text on the Mamma Mia website.
I mean, is that getting a lot of readers?
but what is getting a lot of readers? Like, what's getting readers is your sell on social media to to click through? Is your SEO, like, the way that you're handling this in your headline?
Yeah.
Let's continue, right? Like, so Wesley's Latinx, and you can just say that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do, like, all of this coded post-colonial Western European nonsense. And I promise we will get back to Wesley, but I'm not quite finished with Mother Mia, who continue. Although, we must say, last year's lack of diversity proved to be a bit of a hot topic in the reality TV world and left many fans disappointed. But with that being said, we were hoping for a little more inclusivity this time around, and unfortunately, it doesn't seem like this season we're going to get it.
Huh?
What are you talking
about?
There's
a lot of double negatives in there. It's a little hard to track.
Who is your sub-editor? Like, name them.
I'm sure they don't exist in this day and age, I'm sure.
It's true. Like, while we're here, please return your pot to the Kettle Black store. Like, imagine the extent of the tone deafness that would see you, on the one hand, exoticize a Latinx man with a heavily coded phrase like, adding some spice to this season. And then turn around at the end of your article and bemoan the lack of inclusivity in this series.
And be like, well, like, actually, this could be an important moment for diversity. And it might teach some underpaid writers.
I don't think
they're
saying that at all.
Oh,
like,
right.
I think they're saying it's not diverse enough.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree. But also, yeah, it's a strange way to make that point.
Last season was all fucking white. Okay?
Yeah.
We have brought in a Latinx man. Surely there could be more diversity at play. But would you like some cake, or are you full from already having eaten it?
Yeah.
It's really hard to say.
Yeah. He's from Brazil, I believe.
We'll get there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to step up. I didn't realize that was too far. That's fine.
No. Come to Brazil with me, okay?
Okay.
Listener, consume your media responsibly and make note of bullshit like this when you see it. And hey, speaking of some bullshit, let's find out more about Wesley.
Great.
Core facts. Number one, I looked everywhere, Xavi, trying to find out how old this man is. It was not until yesterday.
We love this shit on this podcast.
More than a week. More than 2 weeks? Hard to say. Of Googling, have revealed the answer, but it was very hard to come by, and I will fill you in shortly.
Okay.
The Daily Mail reported that Wesley stands at, I quote, a whopping 6'1".
That ain't no whopper. That's a junior whopper at best.
That is how tall I am, and not once in my life, I feel so certain in saying to you, has anyone looked at me and has said to me, you are whopping.
That cunt over there is whopping as. Do you reckon that guy whops? Yeah, he whops all the time. He's a big whopper.
Wesley is sold to us as a Macfluencer by the lazy websites who are simply taking production's word for it.
Did you say Macfluencer as in like Apple Macintosh computers?
Well,
what does
model
it
actor,
mean?
Influencer, it's a word that I made up.
Oh, okay.
And he is described as such on a website that I found that's like a casting website called The Right Fit.
I think The Right Fit is a website you post your shit on when you want to do brand deals on social media.
On the website Behance, a social media platform owned by Adobe, Wesley has created a profile as a graphic designer. Digging deeper, we can learn that he holds a Master's of Arts. And if you find Wesley on YouTube, you'll also see him speaking at what I will call for now large religious gatherings.
That's interesting. Yeah, I learned when I watched him on The Project that he is religious, that he studied theology at some point, not a huge amount more specific detail beyond that. But one of the panel asked him if he thinks that means that God will be on his side as he proceeds through the show. And he says he sure hopes so, sort of looking slightly up, you know, towards the heavens. And then looking to his side, he says, like, because there are these two good-looking blokes as my competition or whatever.
My eyebrows could not be raised higher.
We've now had openly religious people on the show. Like, Jed's religion was kind of a big part of his
definitely
character, very openly and publicly as part of last year's The Bachelors. Or sorry, this year's The Bachelors. But yeah, this maybe feels like even a little stronger. Just the invocation of like, you know, I hope that the Heavenly Father up above will guide me with his shining light through this competition. I don't know.
It is implied, isn't it, in the question from the project. Mm. And I promise you there's more information to come in that area.
Have you discovered whether or not God is real as part of your research?
Yeah, in fact, I have, and we will get there. Stick around, listener, for more on that. There is other stuff.
Uh-huh. Great, okay.
Wesley has written blog posts on Medium. We will get to his Instagram, but...
Just to clarify, he has written blog posts on the website Medium, not blog posts about the TV show Medium starring Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, no. He has not done that. But I am confident that none of these things are, like, his job. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
These are all hats that Wesley wears or might appear to wear, but I also think that he earns his income in a different way, and I will explain my hypothesis later, but I want to know, Xavier, from you right now, do you have any guesses?
I got to say, as much as I'm comparing him to Jed, I am also getting some Thomas Malicelli vibes from this guy.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's just like the sense of pride that you have on your face, Max Quinn, on this Zoom call, that you know a lot about this guy in the same way that you had learned a lot about Thomas Malicelli last time we did one of these.
It's hard to say.
But I don't know specifically what I mean when I'm saying that. I just feel like there's some level of, you know, potentially like a grift or some kind of like taking advantage of people or something going on here, maybe.
I don't know if that's quite true.
Okay, but good.
Let me phrase it in this way, okay? All of these careers, all of these talents, I think it's only fair to ask, is the man a polymath?
Now, I know what that word means, but just for any of our listeners who don't.
Is he a man who is incredibly successful in all of the disciplines that he might put his attention to?
I mean, I guess so,
right?
Is he
that good at that many things?
Or is he got rich parents? Is that where you're leading me? Is it like what he does for a living is whatever the fuck he wants?
Let's take a closer look.
Okay, great. I feel like I'm getting a little warmer.
We'll begin with his acting work, where on his IMDb page, we learn that Wesley has acted in a grand total of 2 listed films.
Great. I love films.
One of them is a short film that came out last year that, Xavier, I'm sure you've seen. Mm-hmm. It is called Cactus. Tell me about it.
Cactus. Yeah. So this is about a young man named... Wesley.
Albo is the character that he plays.
Got it. Yeah, that was close. Oh, yeah. Mm. And he's the Prime Minister of Australia. And he shows up to work and he's absolutely munted. And because sometimes people use the word cactus to refer to being, like, fucked. Is that
It was funded by the Australian Arts Fund. And I watched the fundraising pitch for it online. Look, it looks fine. I couldn't tell you what it is about outside of, like... There's a woman and she makes friends with her Portuguese neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they must have needed someone to speak Portuguese, which Wesley can do because he is, as you have so correctly noted, from Brazil.
Okay, great. I'm seeing here that he plays a character called Nephew. Is that possible? Are we looking at different things? That's a great character name.
I can't confirm or deny. Maybe the IMDb page has been updated since I last looked at it, but it is entirely possible that Albo and the Nephew are one and the same. But, Xavier, I'm wondering if you know about the film in which Wesley plays the lead role of Raphael. Is this ringing any bells to begin with right now?
Oh, of course. Well, this is, of course, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right?
What do the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like to eat?
They love pizza. Yummy, yummy.
Okay, and pizza is an Italian cuisine?
Sure, famously. Much okay, like Thomas Malicelli himself. Go on.
What if there was a different country that enjoyed a different kind of cuisine?
I bet that's
What food would that be?
Fuck you. Just say the name.
The film is called A Bowl Full of Noodles.
Great.
And I cannot find anything about it online. What I did find is some information about the director and writer, Guillem Riera Royo,
Great.
Who last year posted a casting call as a producer of student film in Sydney. So,
oh, okay.
Based on this, the inference that I am making and my best guess at the moment is that A Bowl Full of Noodles is a student movie starring Wesley in the lead role, which I would now give just about anything to be able to watch.
Yeah, we got to try and track this down. Is it possible that he plays the bowl full of noodles?
Raphael, the bowl of noodles.
Right, it's the titular role.
I think if it's not possible, it's at least possible in our imaginations, and that's what I would like to encourage you, listener, to do.
I've got a synopsis. I've found the synopsis for A Bowl of Noodles. Oh. It says, after inheriting his aunt's house in Australia, Raphael travels to Sydney to discover that that house is now a Chinese restaurant, setting up a hilarious series of misunderstandings that spiral out of control.
Oh, I can't wait. I absolutely have to see this film. This is more than I could have dreamed of.
Yeah, this sounds great.
Elsewhere, I have found a cached version of this man's Instagram account.
Okay, because, yeah, it's probably all pretty well. Oh, no, it's locked down, right? We're all on private right now.
Everyone is on private now, yeah. Okay? But your internet archive is forever, and if you happen to have, let's say, maybe been using an analytics platform to track your growth as an influencer, or maybe you have been searching for yourself in a place like that, people like me who know what to Google might be able to find you.
People with grubby little fingers.
Here's what I learned.
Okay.
In March this year, Wesley posted a video of himself acting out a scene from the movie Cruel Intentions.
Ooh, a sexy thriller.
I have not seen it. Playing as the Ryan Philippe character Sebastian.
Mm, the crab.
Also.
No.
He appears to have also done what I think. It's blurry. So this is a very cached version of the gram. It's screenshots only. Is a commercial for the UN Refugee Agency, which he has captioned, "The day that I got to work for the UN. I wish I could tell you more."
Okay, well, that sounds sick.
Sounds great.
Into that.
Elsewhere, Wes has contributed to the website castingnetworks.com, where he has noted that his acting resolution for 2023 is to have the honour to represent the incredible Latino community in some of Australia's shows. Tick that box, I suppose.
Sure.
And according to his Instagram, he is now managed by the talent agency Bella Management, quite a big agency who look after people like Dami Im, Jack Vigen, and most notably for our purposes, last season's anti-vax bachelor, Thomas Malucelli.
Right, yeah. So this is probably a new signing as a result of being added to the cast of The Bachelors,
seems
right?
likely, yeah. Yes. So that covers acting. We still have influencing and modeling to go. I don't know that I would feel comfortable calling him an actor in the, like, title case, but I also don't think that he's not an actor in the title case. You know what I mean? There's a gray area.
I mean, it's hard to get jobs, you know. He's probably early, putting his early feet in it. We've seen plenty of people go from Bachelor into more acting work, so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's move on to modeling and influencing.
Mm-hmm.
So, we return to the website The Right Fit, which is like that influencer for hire kind of website we talked about before,
yeah.
Where Wesley actually has a 5-star rating.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's probably all the stars you can get, right?
I think that's all the stars that you can get on that website. And
it's more stars than they could get for this season of The Bachelors, am I right?
What?
I mean, like, 5 would be too many, I think, probably.
But. It'd be too many. It'd be Usher, there's 4. That's enough.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Wesley has completed 1 job on this website at his nominated rate of $100 an hour.
Okay, that's not that. I mean, that's not out of the question. I mean, you know, like, I'd pay that to get him on the podcast if he wanted to do it right now.
Yeah, we could book him on The Right Fit, okay? Yeah. On his Instagram, he's definitely also posting influencer-adjacent content. Mm-hmm. I can find 1 cached post of a selfie with Wesley in a white T-shirt with a caption in Portuguese that translates to, "Before you get frustrated with the goals you've already broken, it's good to stop and think about what balance is." And then it goes on and it's cut off and I can't see it.
Standard influencer post.
this is about as far as we get in terms of modeling and influencing, outside of the fact that he has like 13,000 people following him on the gram.
Great.
He also has a TikTok that I don't have access to. He has representation, headshots. He's been in some small things. But to be honest, Savy, it's when we step into the world of graphic design that things get really interesting.
Yeah, because right now I'm like, sure, this is all the kind of stuff you'd expect in the background of somebody who is kind of like just a hot guy on Instagram, right? Like, you know, he's done a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He's around. He's for hire. He's a guy, you know?
We talked before about the website Behance. It's a social website created by Adobe where graphic designers are able to do things like share their work and collaborate with each other, and if they so choose, upload their resumes.
Okay. Great.
For example.
I see where this is going.
Who's to say whether or not Wesley is one of these people? But some people, when choosing to upload their resume to the website Behance, which is public, may also choose to include on their resume their personal email address, employment history, and contact phone number.
That is an interesting... I mean, and we're talking about... This thing comes up on, like, page one, page two of Google, you reckon?
Yeah. Look, you just got to know what to search for. But, listener, if you are picking up what I am putting down, you should absolutely not, under any circumstances, dig up for yourself this information and try to make contact. That would be bad, just saying.
Yeah, don't... Listeners, please don't actually do that.
Be careful what you put online.
Yes. This is the lesson here.
I'm not doxing this man, although I will read directly from his CV as it pertains to one specific point.
Okay, great. Yes.
Work experience. Photoshop teacher. Working in a mega church with almost 10,000 members gives you the privilege of participating in amazing projects such as Frame and Communication School hosted by the Communication Department. This school started its classes in 2013, and I was invited to teach Adobe Photoshop CC. The key phrase here is megachurch, and I would like you to hold that thought. The CV that Wesley uploaded to Behance basically is like, covers us to a point where he has done graphic design study in Brazil and has worked there until 2014. And you can also see some of the posters that he's designed for the mega church that he belonged to in Brazil before he immigrated to Australia.
Candidly, do you rate them? Are they good?
They're fine.
Sure.
Yeah. Issue.com.
Oh, yeah.
Is a website that hosts digital magazines as well as things like promotional pamphlets, catalogs, and our friend Wesley SC has a profile there too.
Okay. I mean, you go digging around enough on there, you might even see a little XRN. You know what I mean?
Probably.
Nobody's safe.
Yeah, look, I'm sure that I've been published on Issue in different formats. Uh-huh. One of Wesley's two uploads from his own profile to Issue was in 2015, where he uploaded a 12-page university prospectus for the College of an Australian Evangelical Megachurch.
Okay, I'm hearing that word again.
Hillsong.
There it is. That's the big one.
For the uninitiated, and God bless you if you are, Hillsong is a megachurch formed in Australia in the 1980s that has gone on to become one of the most successful evangelical church franchises. What do you call that business model?
I don't know.
Community? It's so hard to say, right? Hillsong is a religious and corporate titan. I'm sure that you probably have seen the videos of like young people going above and beyond in their worship and having like out of body experiences, losing their mega church marbles to Christian rock music.
Yeah, I feel like we should be putting some like tasteful beats behind this spiel.
Yeah.
Just to give you something a bit
uplifting.
Of the flavor. Yeah, definitely like, it's from a parallel universe where Of Monsters and Men are still number one on the charts, you know?
Yeah. It was founded by a man named Brian Houston, who is quoted in this prospectus several times, and who was the senior pastor of the Hillsong Church in Sydney up until 2022, when he stepped down from his position after being criminally charged in Australia for concealing the sexual abuse of a child by his own father in 1999 and after alleged allegations of misconduct surfaced against him. Namely, Houston was accused of sending inappropriate text messages to a female member of Hillsong staff and entering the hotel room of a different Hillsong woman while drunk at night.
Oh, not good.
Cool.
I don't like those things. Look.
So Wesley's a Hillsong guy.
Yeah, that's not to say that there's no value in the entire enterprise, but...
Definitely not. Look, I have lots of friends who are religious. It is fine. Hillsong is a particularly interesting one, and Wesley being a Hillsong guy is particularly interesting because it's not in the sense that he just, like, goes to Hillsong. You know what I'm saying?
It's a quite an evangelical, like, when you're in Hillsong, you're trying to get people to come to Hillsong, you know?
But the well runneth deeper.
Okay.
On the website Signal Hire, Wesley is listed as Hillsong Student Acquisition and Engagement Manager, business lead. What I am interpreting from that, and I could be wrong, is that it is or was his job to recruit students into Hillsong. And if I were to guess, that might be a pretty neat way to keep the lights on while you are pursuing acting and modeling and influencing on the side.
Maybe learning a little Photoshop technique along the way, you know?
Learning a little Photoshop, doing a little theology, and you might be asking, how do you recruit someone into Hillsong?
Oh, I think I know. I think you sit backwards on a chair and you go, kids, we got something to talk about. And why talk when we can sing? You know, it's something like that, probably, right?
It's honestly, yes. And friends and fans of the show might remember the deep dive that we did last year into isogenics and Bachelor Thomas Malucelli's involvement with the popular multi-level marketing scheme.
Uh-huh.
You may also remember how we found video of Thomas selling isogenics on YouTube, even though he had unlisted all of the videos on his profile.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was what a good time we had doing that.
What a good time we had doing that.
And we
that.
Made such a big difference in the world.
We changed everything, didn't we?
Yeah.
The mistake that Thomas made was that he did not hide his playlists. And so we were sort of like able to get in and watch all of his unlisted videos for ourselves. And listener, Xavi, it is my pleasure to inform you that we find ourselves in the exact same situation calendar year later.
Because here's the thing. Like... they do a lot of cleaning. They do a lot of, like, you know, all the social medias are shut down. Everything's on private.
Yep.
Everything's unlisted. You know, it's enough to scare off most people, right? Or at least, you
right.
know, not scare them off, but just make them go like, oh, well, I'll find out what I need to find out about this guy from the TV show, you know?
Exactly that, right? And to the fact that his YouTube bio has been updated in the last 2 weeks to remove mention of Hillsong.
Interesting.
Okay. But he is Wesley evangelizing at literal Hillsong in a clip taken from a video that goes for 15 minutes.
Great.
Listener, hello. Just an editor's note as I'm going through here. I couldn't get the 15-minute version to... not that we're going to listen to the whole 15 minutes, whatever. Anyway, I couldn't get that to render properly. So instead, this, for the sake of accuracy, is a different... video than the one that I was talking about, but you get the point. He's preaching at the college.
This is what Jesus said. This is salty. But imagine you've got someone in your life, someone that is far from God, or someone that doesn't even know about Jesus, and you throw a little bit of salt. Keep being generous. He's gonna be thirsty one day. And what is the one thing you ask for whenever you are thirsty? Water. In John 7:38. Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink.
He's a Hillsong guy.
He's a Hillsong guy. He's doing the Hillsong thing, and good for him.
He's doing the thing, right? If you search for Wesley on Facebook, you can find pictures of him literally helping to baptize another grown man in water up to his navel at the Hillsong Church in Waterloo, as well as a curious listing on a Sydney subletting group that we will come back to.
Oh, my God. Okay, good, good.
Wesley has a public page with 3,900 followers, and
One man who I can see has commented on this page is Wesley's very own dad.
Oh, Mr. Senna Cortez. Maybe.
I think it might just be Cortez.
Yeah, whatever, who knows?
Whatever, yeah. Here's the thing. Who can say about apples and trees and how far one might fall from the other? But having a little peek at Father Cortez's Facebook was quite illuminating.
Is that so? The only person I trust to talk to me about apples and trees and such is a Macfluencer. And thanks so much.
Yeah. The first and least controversial thing that we have learned is Wesley's age.
Okay, great. Yes, what is it?
In August 2017, Father Cortez wished his son a happy 27th birthday. So we can assume that Wesley is 32 turning 33 in a couple of weeks.
The suspense and build-up to that reveal was incredible.
Hey, set him up, knock him down. You know what I'm doing.
I went to go and see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 recently, and like I thought I was on tenterhooks from the ending of that movie, the cliffhanger, you know?
No. I got you. Mr. Cortez is an evangelical pastor.
Wait, hold a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You're telling me he's a bowl full of noodles? It all connects,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you'll really fucking like it.
Yeah.
Albeit, he is an evangelical pastor who has made some of the most rancid public posts to Facebook that I have had the displeasure of experiencing in quite a long time.
Okay, I do actually, and I'm sorry to say this, I do actually need to hear some of this. At least, okay. What's the vibe, you know?
Okay. I'm going to give you the vibe because I'm not going to put words to what has been posted. I went back quite a way. Mm-hmm. So far, Xavier, that I found a picture that Mr. Cortez uploaded of his son's university admissions card to the college that he attended in Brazil in 2009.
This is a good podcast.
It's a good podcast. But
we do this for free.
I want to note, obviously, Wesley's opinions are not those of his dad. It's just interesting to learn sort of like where Wesley's dad's life might be at the moment and where Wesley's life is at the moment.
This might be the kind of thing that a son would want to rebel against, you know? Like, we can't necessarily equate the two. I don't think there's any, like, indicative link necessarily.
There's no indicative link. They seem to be very, very close. Mm. One of the more recent posts that I found was a Christmas post where Wesley has given his dad and his new stepmom, Wesley's mother passed away more than a decade ago, very sadly, jumpers that say Hillsong Dad and Hillsong Mum.
Oh, that's nice.
So they remain very close, but it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on Mr. Cortez's public Facebook page that I personally find questionable. On Wesley's Medium page, he has published two blogs.
Okay, and just for clarity, Patricia Arquette, Control-F, not listed.
Not listed. One of them is called Five Things I Learned When I Gave My Phone Away.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah.
The other one is called Let It Be.
Oh.
The Let It Be one is more interesting just because we learn a little bit more about Wesley's piousness and also his nomenclature. So he says that he was named after a man named John Wesley. Do you know who that man is?
No. That's a pretty generic name as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't ring a bell.
He was the evangelist progenitor of Methodism, a Christian denomination that believes that the Bible is the one source of truth on all matters. Mm-hmm. We don't need to go super into Methodism, but in the course of my research on John Wesley, I learned that a couple of things, okay? Like, obviously, clear communicator, started a whole fucking religion on his own and annexed himself from the Church of England in doing so, right? Mm-hmm. Did you know, though, this man was also a big home remedies guy?
Oh, that's interesting.
Quoting here from a website called Resources of United Methodism, Wesley strongly recommended holding a puppy against the stomach to cure stomach pain.
Hey, I mean, is it going to hurt? Give it a try.
He also offered dried and powdered toad pills for asthma.
Boy, are you going to have wet toad? Just don't be silly.
Okay. That's all I have on John Wesley. But just quickly before we move on, okay, the Facebook post on the subletting group, before we let Wesley go into the beyond.
Yeah.
This post was posted June 24. Now, what I assume that means is that Wesley knows at this point that he has been cast as The Bachelor and now needs to work out what to do with his apartment.
Yeah. I mean, this is less than a month ago. That sounds right.
Yep. Interestingly, the sublet dates are July 1 to August 5. And I am now comfortable saying that I think that these are the filming dates for this season.
Right.
I can also tell you that Wesley's apartment has a 65-inch TV with Netflix and binge and also a separate balcony with hammock.
Bro, that rules. This guy's living the high life.
He is really living the high life in an undisclosed location.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving Hillsong Thomas.
Yeah, yeah. I think that seems to
be the
vibe.
It's giving evangelical Damien.
Yeah.
There is a hopefulness. There is a naivete. But also maybe like a piousness that might give an otherwise ordinary man the confidence to, let's say, join an MLM or preach the gospel at a mega church or to host a podcast like this one.
Right. Yeah, I gotta say, when we were preparing for this episode, I was expecting, because you told me you had quite a lot on Wesley Sena Cortez, I was expecting maybe more like actual skeletons in the closet.
No.
To me, this guy seems like he's basically perfect putty for a Bachelor producer, you know?
That's exactly what he is, in the same way that Thomas was. With less of the MLM and more of the religious zealotry.
Yeah. Which is going to be totally some people's bag, I reckon. I don't see that as, like, excluding him. Although, you know, Australia is not the most religious country in the world. I don't see it necessarily getting in the way.
I don't think they're going to play it up at all. I think that, the religion will be a side note, you know?
Let's put a bet on it. I don't know how, but let's... What do you think... Okay. Is the likelihood that the word Hillsong will be uttered on this upcoming season of The Bachelor?
0%.
0%?
Zero.
Wow. Okay.
I give it a flat zero. What do you think?
Well, I'll take the yes. I don't know how likely it is, but if it is said at any point, I will win.
I love that you gave me a data range from 0 to 100.
And you took
and
zero.
And I said zero. Yeah. And you have just given yourself all of the leverage.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. What else am I supposed to do?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I feel so confident that it won't be. But look, I'm sure we will find out more about Wesley, but we haven't
spent... Wait, quickly. Do I still get points if they say... They don't say all of Hillsong, but they do say Brazil song. Because that could happen. That may well come up.
Maybe that will come up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it.
So I get half points, I think, if that pops up.
I'm sure we'll find out more, but as things stand, we have spent so much time on Wesley, and it is time to get to know our second Bachelor for season 11, the man named Ben Waddell. So if you are looking at the Channel 10 press picture, Ben is the man in the middle, and I just want to clear a few things up off the top. Yes, he has sued Zac Efron and Netflix. Yes! He has claimed that they stole his idea for a TV show called Down to Earth.
What the fuck?
Yes. The shows do look similar, and yes! At one point, he did give Netflix and Zac Efron a 7-day ultimatum to respond to his weird Instagram post about it, as if he were Dr. Evil.
What's going on, Max?
If you ask me... This is an incredible attempt to be taken seriously. Just as a side note, right? Mm-hmm. Like, listener, if ever you are in a position of zero leverage in your personal or professional life, my advice to you is this. Issue an ultimatum.
Give them a countdown clock, you know?
State your desired outcome, no matter how unreasonable, and say you have 48 hours.
This message will self-destruct.
So, Xavier, it sounds like this is the first you're hearing of the man Ben Waddell suing Netflix.
Let me tell you literally everything I know about the man Ben Waddell.
Please.
After just double-checking, his name is indeed pronounced Ben Waddell. That's most of it. He's from Melbourne, which is where they're shooting the show. So that helps. Convenient. He's, I think, maybe the only one of them that is from Melbourne.
Yes.
And he said on his interview on the project, quote, "I'm really into sustainability and the environment. I've just moved back to Australia, don't know from where, with the hope of finding a beautiful Australian woman to hopefully spend the rest of my life with. Mate, if you're looking for an Australian woman, you're in the right country." That is literally it. I know nothing more about this white straight dude, right?
Okay, so I'm going to talk to you all about the man who sued Netflix.
Great.
He went to them, Netflix, yeah, in 2017 with a pitch for a show called Down to Earth, in which he would be the host.
Sick.
In 2020, Netflix released a show that was also called Down to Earth with Zac Efron as the host.
Okay, same title. Otherwise, what else are we talking about? Title, it's not the most unique title I've ever heard. You know, I'm like, what's the case?
Both shows are roughly about, like, the environment and conservation and the world around us in incredibly broad strokes.
Right.
Okay? And if you are to compare the title sequences, as they have done, between the two shows...
So he made a pilot, like, on spec, it seems like, right? Like, he didn't have a deal with Netflix or anything.
He didn't have a deal at all. He went to them with, like, here's what it would look like. I'm not saying it's like open and shut, case closed, that Netflix stole his idea, but I will say that I feel like it is more open and shut, case closed than I thought it would be when I read all the clickbait headlines about how the new Bachelor has sued Netflix. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
so that you think there's a bit more to it than it seems like there might be?
It seems like people want to be like, huh, he sued Netflix, as much as at the top of this I was like, huh, he sued Netflix. Right. To be honest with you, it seems like there's a bit more to it. Yeah, like the show that he pitched and the show that Zac Efron stars in, they have more in common than they don't, even though they might not be exactly the same thing.
Even just the fact that he showed it to Netflix and therefore it's proven that Netflix has seen it, or someone at Netflix has seen it or whatever. Like, it's not like he made a YouTube video and then there was a Netflix show and then he was like, hey, this YouTube video that I uploaded must have been seen by someone at Netflix, and then they decided to rip it off or whatever, right?
Right, exactly. No, he had a pitch meeting with them. So that's really interesting. There's also a GoFundMe campaign where Ben and his brother are campaigning for you to back the underdog. And look, as much as it pains me to look at an incredibly privileged and successful man and think underdog, in this case, maybe he can lay claim.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, compared to Zac Efron, sure. And in fact, putting aside Zac Efron, in comparison to Netflix, like one of the most dominant companies in the world right now.
Ben is 33 years old. He is, unlike Wesley, an actual, factual, verified international model.
Cool.
There are pictures of him all over the internet, modeling all over the world for all manner of brands of all shapes and sizes. He's represented by Cult Models in Australia, and it is worth noting that Cult is spelled with a K.
Oh, okay.
And his Twitter is not on private.
What are you doing? Is it just like...
I don't know how this is real.
Is it just like Twitter is kind of not a thing anymore? People just aren't thinking about it these days or something?
It's so hard for me to say, like, maybe he's lost his password. Mm. Like, I just... This is one of those weird things. Like, you're supposed to, as a bachelor, scrub and lock all of your accounts when you become the Batchy. Yep. And
before the announce goes out, before, you know, especially if you're unknown, you know, let's say you're a celebrity, you're Sophie Monk, you get cast, you don't necessarily have to shut everything down the same way that you do here.
Right.
But like the reason they have cast three men that we've never heard of that we have to go digging around for information about is because we've never heard of them. We don't come in with these expectations. We can have a fresh, you know, we can go in there with the expectations that they want to set up for us.
That's exactly it, right? And for whatever reason, I have been able to find not even a cached version, but Ben's full unlocked Twitter account that with tweets that go back almost a decade.
Okay, that's fascinating.
So this is some stuff.
How much of this shit did you have to read?
I read all of it.
Okay, great, yeah.
And I got to tell you, he's pretty clean, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I went right back through the archives. We're not about to cancel Ben Waddell. I actually think that he might be pretty normal by Australian reality TV standards. Mm-hmm. By which I mean the following.
I mean, I'm getting an aggressively normal vibe from all three of these dudes, spoiler alert, but I don't know, maybe we'll get there.
Ben has been online. He has posted cringe, but it is not offensive.
Listen, who amongst us who is immune?
Right?
Know? Yeah.
For example, in 2015, he tweeted, "Good night, Sydney, you seductive temptress. It sure is good to be back in this city, great, even if it's only for a quickie kiss, kiss emojis."
Listen, cringe not lest ye be cringed, you know?
Right?
Who,
right.
Who, what's mightier? The wait. It's
don't throw cringe in a glass house.
You can lead a camel to cringe, but you can't make it drink.
Look, Ben has also retweeted lots of photos of beautiful women in seductive poses over the years.
Hell yeah. Dude, I gotta follow this guy.
Yeah, including one from the account Gentleman's Journal with a picture of woman showing side boob that reads, "Sleep well, gents."
Wow. Okay.
His personal hashtag appears to be "does what he wants." So we can assume that he goes by Waddy and that he sucks.
Oh, does what he wants. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And in 2014, he tweeted, "Just signed up, smiley face. Hope I won't get into too much trouble in the Twitter sphere. Horny purple devil emoji."
Oh, boy. Well, you know what they say? A cringe in the hand is worth two in the cringe.
Yeah, a cringe in time saves Ben Waddell. And honestly, he's done okay. There are some things on this Twitter account that are giving me pause, but nothing is like a mega red flag, and for this franchise in particular, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So the two things that I want to put forward, okay? Number one, his most recent posts on Twitter are retweets promoting Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange.
Okay, and that's an important moment for visibility, and I think actually, that's slay.
It is.
Ben Waddell is a ally, at the very least.
It's really good to know that Ben Waddell is an ally, and shout out to you if you're a Binance, you know, if your pronouns are Binance.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is that Ben was on another reality TV show in 2015.
Oh, wait, 2015's a while ago.
8 years ago.
Was he on Junior MasterChef or something? No, he's like 33.
It feels like this was a pretty big deal in the UK, even though I have personally never heard of it. I'll be interested if you have. Mm-hmm. The show is called Taking New York. Do you know about it?
It rings a faint bell, but no, I don't think I know what it is.
The show follows a group of 20-something British friends striving to make their American dream come true.
Okay. Is one of them from Melbourne?
So it's a bunch of Brits in New York, and one of them is Ben Waddell from Melbourne.
Okay, yep.
It ran for 8 episodes. It also got picked up in Australia. I can't find a way to watch it on streaming. There are torrents, but they appear to be dormant.
Okay, interesting. We'll see what we can do.
That's all that I know. I can't wait to watch and learn if it is possible to find this show online. And listener, if you are able...
Oh yeah!
To find this show online, please be in touch.
I'm going to be able to get us into this.
Oh, you are?
Well, it's on the Channel 4 UK streaming platform.
I love this.
I will probably be able to watch it with ads. I think this is how I was watching the like Swedish Bachelor or whatever that Kieran was on.
Oh, yes, that Kieran was on.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We'll have to have a watch party.
Yeah. It also seems to maybe be purchase or rentable on Prime Video in the UK as well. So, yeah, we've got a couple of options. I think it's just a VPN situation. Yeah.
That will be good for us in the between time between us finding out about this and the series airing. Maybe we can do a bit more of a deep dive into what happens to Ben on this series.
Right, I'd like to find out what's going on there for sure, yeah.
In the interim, I'd like to talk about his Instagram and other social accounts.
Great, yes, what's going on? So obviously all locked down, we're not able to see anything that's going on anywhere, right?
Well, Ben's Instagram is locked down. But in my research, I did find an account run by someone named Hillary.
Wait, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. From the frickin' politics?
Yeah.
From frickin' Wesley Senator Cortez's dad's page?
From Wesley Senator Cortez's dad's page, owner and proprietor of Planet Comet Ping Pong Pizza.
Uh-huh, yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of stuff going on about
Pokemon
Big Hills.
Go to the polls, etc.
Yep, D. Podesta, D's nuts.
But her
right?
emails, etc.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Okay, so Hillary, and I'm not going to provide her handle
raise
for
your
reasons
voice.
That will become obvious.
Lizzie McGuire movie?
Yeah, yeah.
And show.
She claims to be, quote, the biggest fan of Australian model Ben Waddell.
Oh, my goodness. Well, only up till now.
This account has not been updated in a few years, and basically it only posted pictures of Ben on his various travels and adventures and commented on how hot he is, basically like obsessive fandom 101.
Oh, fuck.
But...
Okay. So I thought what you were explaining was that this was a fake account he had set up like recently now that he's on The Bachelor so that he could keep using Instagram. But what it sounds
definitely
like
not.
To me is like this is some kind of extremely unhealthy one-sided fan relationship that makes me feel a bit scared.
That's correct. That's what I found.
Sick. Okay, great. Awesome. Yeah, glad to be talking about that. Yeah, what have we got? Glad that we were just making fun of that person.
Look, this person is never going to find out. I promise you this.
Okay.
Account has been not updated in 6 years. But it has pictures of Ben on his various travels that must have been taken from his personal Instagram. Mm-hmm. And there are little bits and pieces that may reveal also a bit about his prior relationship history.
Oh,
and
great.
From what I can tell,
if this person was privy to this, we therefore may as well be as well, you know.
That's it. You know what I mean? Ben was in a relationship with a woman who is based in New York, and out of respect for her privacy, I'm not going to name her or the account, but I can tell you that they went to Norway together.
No way.
No way. And her last post about Ben was in 2018. Anyway, big scoop, Ben was in relationship 5 years ago. Moving on, what do we make of Ben?
Well, okay, just quickly, did you get any indication of when that relationship might have started? Because taking New York, which took place in New York.
Well, there are pictures of them in 2017. So it might have been like
a couple of years after taking New York,
yeah.
I guess. Maybe the timelines don't quite work out. I mean, there are other people. I've heard dozens of people live in New York City. So
I have been to New York City and I can confirm that there are dozens of them there.
Yeah. Did you see the Wet Dream Tomato?
Now, what is that?
You know, New York, Concrete Jungle, Wet Dream Tomato?
Yeah, I did. I saw it. And yeah, it was everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, I bet. Mm. Mm. The big tomato, they call it. Anyway, go on.
I want to know what you make of Ben based on the description that you have been given.
Well, based on the description that I have been given prior to today, I think absolutely nothing of him. He is a normal man. And now, knowing a little bit more about him, I'm a little more interested in this guy. He's giving me 10% more flavor than the pretty plain packaging that I was given beforehand. You know what I mean?
I think that he is flavorful. I'm curious about what kind of edit he is going to be given, because on the one hand, I think that you could see this going down the path of like, maybe this man lacks a little bit of self-awareness. He retweets beautiful women.
Yeah.
Maybe they portray him as being a model with an ego, like the Felix von Hoff edit.
Yes.
And I think that I might lean in that direction, but...
That seems interesting to me, yeah.
Mm. On the other hand, you could also present Ben as someone who cares about the environment, who is successful in his chosen career, which is one that is hard to find success in, and who also has reality TV experience, which is good for us as viewers.
Yeah, yeah. Again, kind of just another archetypal blank slate, you know, Bachelor protagonist, right?
Very much, right? They have just cast the most milquetoast sort of like, I can project upon you whatever, and you have enough experience to be able to do stuff with it.
He's giving me like, I don't even know if he's because I know that the other guy is a bit more sporty. I was going to say he's giving a little bit of like photocopy of photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy of the honey badger.
Oh, we got to get there.
Yeah. Okay. So who, I guess, who would we, if Wesley is filling the Thomas Malicelli kind of role, who do we reckon we link Ben Waddell to in history of Bachelor? Like,
I think Jimmy.
Yeah. Okay. Just kind of like a guy.
Plain.
Yeah.
I think he's just a guy who's done some stuff, you know, like who's been pretty successful. Yes, he sued Netflix, but it will never come up on the show.
I don't imagine that would come up. No.
If I were to give you the same odds, what would be more likely? Hillsong or suing Netflix?
Hillsong's coming up. I think like more than 50% likelihood. I don't think that the Netflix suing thing will come up at all.
Okay.
Or he might say like, oh, I had a TV show in production at one point, but it fell through or something. Or like, you know. But even for that, sure. I think belies too much. Like, I don't think they're going to talk about the fact that he was on reality TV before. I think it's too for the wrong reasons. I think it's like we have to pretend he's a complete newcomer.
Well, this is it, right? Like on the most recent show that we watched, F-Boy Island, it was a big reveal that some characters had been on reality TV before and maybe they were just there for the money or whatever. Mm. They can't say that about The Bachelors.
Right, exactly.
As fallible as they have made the Bachelors in the most recent season, they don't want you to think that they are insincere.
They don't even want you to think about the show that you're watching being a TV show. You know, they want you to think that the leads are so only there to find love that they aren't aware or they dislike the fact that it has to be on TV, you know?
That's exactly it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I expect the batchy viewing experience of Ben for season 11 to at least be polished, regardless of how they choose to portray him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I'd have any lean either side of that. I feel like what we're going to get is a product who knows how to do TV, and that makes me happy.
Sure, yes. He'll be neutral, watchable.
Yeah, and if they make him an asshole, fine. If they make him a big romantic savant, wonderful.
Great, yeah. Totally.
That for me is Ben done and dusted, and it is time for you, Xavier, to meet our final bachelor of season 11, Luke Bateman.
Whoa. Hold up. Wait a minute. This guy, hang on. See, what I know about this guy is he's like a billionaire playboy who sort of lives alone in a mansion, but, you know, he's a successful businessman. He inherited a big company from his parents who were shot dead when he was just a young boy.
Mm.
And, he lives a quiet life. We don't really know what he gets up to, particularly at night times, but, you know, he keeps to himself. He's got a butler. He's got a little boy that he lives with. We don't ask too many questions about that situation.
And he's a Bateman, but we're not sure that he's a catfish. You know what I mean? Those two things are different.
Yeah, that's a different situation altogether. Yeah.
Luke is 28. He is 6 foot tall.
Whoa! How tall? This man's whopping.
He is 6 foot tall and weighs 100 kilograms.
How are we going to be able to fit this man on our screens?
It is very hard to say how we are going to fit Luke Bateman on our screen, particularly as he is a retired NRL footballer.
Right. Okay. Yes. Let me tell you the things that I know about this man.
Say these things, please. Yes.
Okay. Number one, country boy from Western Queensland. Football.
Mm-hmm.
He gets quite nervous when he is interviewed on the project, and he does this weird thing with his hands where he's doing like the Mr. Burns steeple.
He's doing the tenting.
Yeah, the tent thing, but it's not just that. He is like slamming them together just at the fingertips, and he's like mushing them, and he's like, let me think, you know, kind of in time with what he's saying. It's very interesting. I mean, look, I don't want anyone pulling apart my nervous tics when I show up on national TV for the first time. Yeah. It's broadcast
live. But you've not been on the project.
Yeah. I'm sure I do very silly things as well, but this jumped out to me more so than anything that the other two were doing. He also does this bit. I have no idea whether this will come up in your research, but they're like, oh, you're not just a country boy rugby guy. You're also sensitive and you like poems. Did this come up at all for you?
Now, I have only seen that he has been described as a poet by various websites who read the press release.
Right.
I have not seen any of his bush poetry online.
Right. So he, I think, freestyles a poem for the project hosts. Maybe I'll insert a clip. I didn't write down what his poem is. It's a few lines. It's nothing crazy.
If there's a clip, please send it.
Okay, yeah.
We're here tonight talking to the project, hoping your questions aren't too direct. Sitting together with some mates, meeting girls and going on dates.
Yes!
Oh, no.
Any thoughts?
Look, if that's bush poetry, I'm fucking Ned Kelly.
If that's bush poetry, I'm voting for Al Gore.
If that's bush poetry, I'm voting for fucking Bolsonaro, okay?
Okay, great. Yeah, excellent. Another great political... I think him and Al Gore really align as well, yeah.
There's a little synergy between the Gores and the Bolsonaros in the room. Mm-hmm. And listeners, no matter which platform you stand on, we welcome you here to the VOH Pub, where we're unpacking everything that there is to know about Luke, whose surname I cannot remember. For the life of me, it is Bateman. It takes me so long. He is not memorable, this man, but whatever.
Nah, Bateman.
Okay, so Luke was a rugby league player for the Canberra Raiders for four seasons before he blew out his knee in 2019, and then everything changed.
Sure, as it does, yeah.
The pandemic hit, and he took on a new career.
Right, so what's that?
He is in forestry. Do you know what that means, Xavier?
He is in forestry. I have to assume that is a sweetening term for doing the opposite of making forests. Does he chop down trees?
That's what I thought too.
Uh-huh.
But forestry is the science of developing, caring for, and cultivating forests.
Oh, bro, that's
not
awesome.
Not deforestation, which is different.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's good.
It's sick.
Yeah.
Luke comes from Toowoomba, and I think that he still lives in Queensland, and he's also a twin from what I can tell.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's going to come up.
Definitely. It's
I reckon
to come
that
up.
Twin's
we
making
will meet
an appearance.
His twin sister.
Oh, so it's okay. I was going to ask if it's an identical twin situation, because that is irresistible to the Bachelor franchise.
Well, so basically, as I understand it, there is a twin sister, and she is dating a sort of like outback filmmaker who is popular on Instagram.
I reckon they'll still pop in.
I think there could be,
there's
a pop in happening there. And look, if I were to bet, I think that we might get a bit of a Honey Badger style portrayal of Luke.
Yeah.
I've watched videos of him doing community outreach for the NRL. Like, they sent him to Cootamundra. They sent him to a bunch of other regional Australian locations where he taught kids about the importance of respecting one another through footy.
Okay, yeah. Not something I know about, but I'm sure it exists.
Me neither. He seems like a bit of a larrikin, but without crossing over necessarily too much into that like problematic cheeky characterization that we often see men on reality TV use as a shield for bad behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least like if that's going to happen, it hasn't happened. We haven't spotted it yet. They're saving it for the show, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? And listener, this is my reminder to you that if a man self-identifies as being, quote, a bit cheeky, my advice to you is to run and not walk.
Yeah, I would say turn the other cheeky from that man, you know?
The closest that Luke has come to being embroiled in controversy is the thing that we touched on up the top. He's in all caps, not gay.
Okay, so that could mean a lot of things. What can you tell me about this?
Playing junior footy in 2014, Luke was actually the target of a derogatory spray from another footy player who plays in the NRL currently named Mitch Moses. And Mitch Moses plays for Parramatta. So that's what I was referring to at the top of the show. It is the under 20s state of origin game, and loud enough that it is picked up on the Fox Sports broadcast to more than 100,000 viewers. This man named Mitch Moses, who is playing for New South Wales against Luke, who's playing for Queensland, yells, "You're an effing gay C."
Right. Okay.
Awful. Homophobic. Yeah,
we
no
don't
excuses.
Like it. No thanks. Very, very much not doing that.
My opinion, Mitch Moses should have known better, even as an under 20s football player in 2014.
Yeah.
What I will say is that I've also grown up in a big football family. I went to a regional high school. These are the kind of slurs that have been commonplace. And
oh, yeah. People are saying this shit. Let's be
definitely
realistic. Yeah.
Right? Like, further education even now is needed in an environment that lots of young men are fed through as children and young adults. But what happens next is that this becomes a big sports media story in 2014. And Luke does an interview with a newspaper in Queensland called the Courier Times, where he basically comes out as straight.
Right. So he is it basically like they interview him being like, is there any truth to the rumors or something?
That's
like,
right. Yeah.
Right. Do we know whether there was any kind of rumor there, or it's just like an epithet was hurled at you and so you must speak to it, you know?
That's exactly what it is, right? Mm. So the headline then reads, "I'm not gay," in all caps. Which
that's an unfortunate way to frame some, because the way I'm imagining it is they asked the question, he answered it, and then they were like, "Can you believe this guy?" Like, you know, by having the headline be like, "I'm not gay," says Luke Bateman, it implies that Luke Bateman like called up all the newspapers and was like, "I need to get this story out there," or whatever.
And this is where it comes sort of into question, like the inaneness of the headline being like, "Oh no, I'm not gay," like, changes when you put it in context, and in particular sports context in 2014, where like 2014 is the year where Michael Sam becomes the first openly gay player to be drafted into the NFL in America.
Yeah.
It is the year where Dale Scott, a 29-year Major League Baseball official, came out to the MLB. He continues to referee to this day. Footballer Robbie Rogers' team, the LA Galaxy, won the Major League Soccer Championship that year with Rogers, an openly gay player, becoming the first gay male athlete to win a pro sports title in the US.
Yeah.
And in fact, more than 100 professional athletes came out as gay in 2014 around the world, according to Truthdig. And the editor of OutSports in the US in this year, Sid Ziegler, petition for Sports Illustrated to label 2014 the year of the gay athlete. They didn't.
Right. But I think the atmosphere is like in a completely, you know, or very, very largely up to this point, like closed off, heteronormative, don't ask, don't tell sort of universe. People are just now being able to sort of speak out and own their sexuality, or, you know, live as themselves, and kind like basically for the first time around this time.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Right. Yeah. Like, so back home, 2014 is the year that one of the most decorated Australian athletes of all time, Ian Thorpe, came out as gay.
Right. Yeah.
And the year that openly gay diver Matthew Mitchum won 2 silver medals in the Glasgow Commonwealth Games. But in rugby league, we have this, you know, and much to your point, we have a homophobic slur, a public denial, and a ridiculous newspaper headline.
Yeah, a big press moment.
Here's one for you. How many openly gay players have ever played in the NRL in Australia?
Is it one?
The answer is one.
So I, earlier this year, watched a really fantastic Australian documentary series made by Zoe Coombs-Ma. Do you know her? She's a...
Hell yeah, I love Zoe.
She's a great comedian. She's self-described professional lesbian.
If you ever have the chance to watch Zoe's comedy show that is called Dave, which she revives or has revived every couple of years, it's fucking brilliant.
It came out around the time that Sydney was hosting World Pride earlier this year, and it was a fantastic, like, very funny but also extremely informative documentary about, like, the queer history of Australia, which obviously is a topic that's much, much, much too big to get into over a, like, three episode, maybe four episode series. But just the, even just the attempt to tangle with how big of a subject that is, led to a lot of really interesting things, including interviews with prominent queer Australians, including the one, now I can't remember this person's name, but, like, the one openly queer NRL player in Australian history, which is such a bizarre thing to say, but such a cool guy. I can't remember his name. What is his name?
So his name is Ian Roberts. And we'll come back to Ian in just a minute. But friend of the show, former guest of the show, Brody Lancaster.
Yeah.
Hosts a podcast with Zoe's partner, Kate Jinks, who is a film and film festival programmer in Australia called See Also.
Such a good podcast.
That you should listen to.
Yeah.
It is such a fucking good show. And
they had Zoe on to talk about the show in a very good episode.
There you go.
Yes.
Right, right. Okay. So Ian Roberts came out in 1995 and he played one more season in the NRL in 1997, where he actually captained the North Queensland Cowboys. And really good for him. Huge, brave, important for the time. But in the 28 years since Ian Roberts came out publicly, nobody, not a soul, has come out as a gay rugby league player in what you would call, like, first grade, the National Rugby League.
Yeah.
According to an article published in 2018 by Chris Kennedy of NRL.com, there are, on average, about 70 players who make their NRL debut appearances each and every year. So, give or take, we're looking at 2,000 professional rugby league players over that time span.
Right.
Further context, it was 9 years ago. And this man, Luke Bateman, our bachelor, on the receiving end of a homophobic slur, was an under-20s footballer from the country.
Mm.
And from that perspective, I suppose, like, I can get on board or understand his response to this, right? Like, he gives an interview to the media. I get why you wouldn't, or why you would want it to be addressed that you weren't a queer man.
Mm-hmm.
And that is only coming from the perspective of someone who, like, I've spoken on this show before, like, I grew up in regional Australia. I don't know if I have or haven't said this, but, like, I didn't have gay friends until I left the regions in 2012. You know, I didn't know about pronouns or what the BTQI letters stood for.
Sure,
or,
yeah, yeah.
Do you know, like, I didn't have a bi friend, a male bi friend, until my dear friend who co-hosts this podcast with me was like, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I say male, but, you know, who cares?
Yes, that too, yes.
Yeah. What I can speak to is the experience of growing up in the regions, not identifying as queer, but being slurred against as if I were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Sure,
what
yeah.
I used to say to those boys who started those rumors about me when I was 15 and 16 was like, so what if I was? Because, like, who cares? And also because I learned growing up that, like, the people who are mean to you want to get a rise out of you, and the best thing that you can do is to not give it back or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. For both reasons, I'm redirecting those people. Like, what does it say about you that you're afraid of someone's difference? But also at 15 on the inside, growing up at the same time that Luke is receiving these slurs on the football field, I remember feeling like, but I'm not, and it's not fair that you're saying that I am and using this language to aggressively craft a narrative.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, obviously, my love to our listeners who identify as LGBTQIA+, I can't imagine what your life has been like or the vitriol that you have experienced. But what I'm saying is that, like, for this rumor for Luke Bateman, present bachelor, mm-hmm. former 19-year-old, to have decided to address publicly, I kind of feel like, okay. You know,
yeah,
like,
I'm inclined to agree. Like, yeah, it's obviously he didn't decide what the headline was going to be. He went to get an interview because he was an emerging footballer, and there was this thing happening with him, and he kind of had to talk to it on some level, I think. Obviously, I think if it were today, he might have been like, he might have talked about it a bit differently, or you would expect that someone
I
guess. Whether that means like, A, you know, why would that be a problem? What's the big deal or whatever? Or B, like, you know, having some context around the history of homophobia within sport or whatever, you know, like
one would hope.
Yeah, exactly. In a way that I can't really speak to because I don't follow sport, you know, I just don't have the knowledge.
And it's wild that those two things are still so disparate.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I'm not mad at him for this, you know.
Fuck no. Like
it's a weird situation to have been put in.
Yeah, and I think that at 19 years old, he probably dealt with it in the best way that he could, which was to get his mum involved to confirm that he wasn't gay to a national newspaper.
Is that really what happened?
That is
what happened. The mum was like, look at these magazines I found under his bed.
Mum was like, no, he's not. I've had to talk about this over and over, and he's not.
Okay, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, my question to you, Max Quinn, is do you think this comes up? Like, this is if... So, Luke, you know, he was an ex-professional footballer. This is not the reason that he stopped playing. It has nothing to do with that. It's more of a leg injury, you know, leading to a change in lifestyle and inability
to... Yeah, it's a total side note in his life and career, a blip in his public narrative, I suppose.
But do you think, like, he is better known for the time that he spent playing rugby or for the moment that he was a national headline, at least in sports media, for this thing, you know?
So as far as I understand, and I read a lot of posts about him on the forums.
Sure, yes.
Dating back like 6 years ago where people were like, Luke's pretty good at football, but he's not the best at football. You know what I mean? Like he's good enough to play first grade for Canberra, but he's not going to be like one of those household names where, like, if I said to you someone that you might know, like
OJ Simpson,
Billy Slater.
I don't know Billy Slater. Sorry,
you don't know who that is. Okay, in the NRL, like, do you know who Brad Fittler is?
Wait, what?
Brad Fittler?
Oh no, I thought you said something.
Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Do you know
I'm sorry.
Gordon Tallis?
No.
Do you know Jonathan Thurston?
No.
Andrew Johns?
Oh, is the guy from Simplechair?
So close, but from the same town.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, actually, you know what? I have heard of that. Are they related?
Andrew and Matthew Johns are brothers, but Daniel Johns is not related to them.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. They're all from Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You've picked a bad example with which to co-host this podcast.
Look, I'm like cherry picking over the past 20 years of things that have come up in my life.
What's
because
that?
Of where I've come from.
Oh, no. I can name AFL players, maybe, but not nobody.
Adam America. Goods, you mean?
Yeah. Well, just lots of them. Yeah. But yeah.
Barry Hall. Sure.
Yes. I was thinking of Barry Hall is who I was thinking of.
Great.
Anyway, this is embarrassing. We should do an episode of the show. Remember when we did the episode of the show where you named every movie you've ever seen?
Yeah.
We should do an episode of the show where I name every professional athlete I can name.
Oh, I really like that. Okay, listener, I think that is where we want to go to next on the Bachelor of Hearts podcast if we can't find Ben Waddell's show.
Sure. Yeah, are we kind of through with Luke?
Yeah, like all I have to say is that I think that he has the most realistic chance of being portrayed as genuine and authentic, according to me.
He's got the country boy come good kind of narrative, like...
Yeah, that's the charm, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the farmer who wants a wife, maybe.
I expect him to have a particular vernacular to him.
Is he the youngest of the three?
Definitely. Yeah. He's like 5 years younger than the others. Like a modern renaissance honey badger.
Mm.
And I hope that Channel 10 has learned also from the way that they presented the honey badger on his season, which was basically like a silly soundbite machine.
Right, right.
And will lean into elements that will humanize Luke.
Yeah, give us a little more actual, like, you know.
Give us substance.
Depth. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how are we feeling about these three guys? How are we feeling about what we know about them now informing the season that's to come? Do we feel way more optimistic? Do we feel like there's heaps of stuff to dig into? I have to be honest and say that I'm like, it's moved the needle by like 10% for me. And you've done so much hard work that I feel terrible saying that, because you've dug around and tried to find any nutritious little, you know, gem that's buried underground or whatever.
Mm.
I just feel like this will be fine, you know?
Well, that's the thing for me as well, right? Like, I really, really tried to be like, okay, here's the salacious information. The best I got was, like, one of them has a weird dad.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone else is probably going to be fine.
Maybe they're relying on the women to, like, have really big characters that will
God, I hope so.
Yeah, that will then sort of bring out some reactions from these guys who seem like maybe they're a little straight-laced, you know?
Yeah, and is that not, like, traditionally how they do it? Like,
I guess so, yeah. The lead is never really the most interesting. Although, I mean, in the past we've had leads who are, like, obviously funny, you know? Like, you can tell that when Sophie Monk sits in front of a camera, something interesting will happen. Or even with Honey Badger, or, you know, even with old mate...
Thomas.
Muscly Nerd. Oh, Thomas Malicelli, sure, yes. Something will happen.
Muscly Nerd.
Yeah, yeah. Muscly Nerd's got a new non-alcoholic beer out, by the way.
Does he really?
We'll talk about it again shortly.
I can't wait. Listener, that is all that I have for you. This is all the information.
Yes. And again, we don't really know what's happening from now on. Like, we wanted to get this episode out, but we don't know. Like, it might be a week and then we are watching the show, or it might be another 9 months, or, you know. So we have a stack of ideas of stuff we'd like to do, a few old topics we'd like to revisit, a few, like, little things we'd like to cram in the cracks somewhere. That's kind of where we're sitting for plans for this podcast for the next little while. And obviously just keeping our ear to the ground to see what new scoops come out.
I'd like to check in with some old friends. Maybe we can say hello to the Golden Bachelor if he airs before this current season airs.
Golden Bachelor has just been unveiled, but won't be airing until spring our time, which, you know, like for a couple of months.
Okay.
But that may be before we see anything from these bachelors. There's a chance, you know, it could be January again. They might just cram them in the exact same slot we had them before. Or they might try and go closer to where The Bachelor used to air, which honestly is kind of around now-ish, maybe the next month or two.
The now-ish part of time. Yeah.
Really remains to be seen. We're going to try and schedule stuff where we can, but hard to say, really. A couple of one-offs for the next little while, I think, is the vibe.
I think that's correct, listener. That's where we're at for the short term. If you would like to stay involved, we will keep you updated on the Bachelor of Hearts Osh posting group on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram at BOHpod, where we will make small jokes sometimes and give you any information as it comes up.
Yeah, we're also on Threads and Twitter and trying to figure out what's going on with all that stuff. But yeah, the Osh posting group, that's where our community hangs out. That's where you can meet the other cool people who like this show. And, you know, there's a few ex contestants in there. We're in there sometimes, you know, it's a good little melting pot. We also urge you, this is probably your last chance. We urge you to head on to internet.com. I can't remember the website. Go online, search for how to vote in the Gold Logies, and give our close personal friend, mentor and father figure, Osher Ginsburg,
yes,
a big vote in the Gold Logies, because he is definitely going to thank us personally on stage when he accepts that big gold crown and scepter. They give him a scepter and crown, right?
Crown, scepter. I think there's also some sort of physical artifact, but it's hard to say.
Yeah, I should also mention that along with the crown and scepter, I also hardly know her. Folks,
really good. It's a good show that we do,
isn't it? Yeah. Look, we've done about as much as we can for right now. I'm excited to find out what else is in store for us on The Bachelors and in the months to come with some other cool weird shit. Hope you guys are along for the ride too, and thank you for supporting our various endeavors into other dating / reality / you know, potholes we've been stumbling into lately.
Yeah, it was super fun. If you didn't listen to the F-Boy Island episodes, F-Boy Island is on one of the Murdoch-owned TV properties. You could watch it, mm-hmm. or you could not watch it and just listen to the recaps and let us know what you reckon.
Yeah. But I think that'll just about do it from us for the moment.
I agree.
Listener, one important reminder.
Oh.
There's a guy on the current season of the US Bachelorette. His name is Xavier. And he is my winner pick. He's definitely going to be top four. This season of US Bachelorette has been really good so far. Strongly recommend you check it out. There was a Barbie-themed date where they all had to write new lyrics to the song Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And these men are not gifted singers. So I just wanted to leave you with that. And another thing, Max is gesturing that we should probably wrap this up.
Goodbye! What's before me, searching for a sign to lead me to the end of the roads. I know we found love, following my heart so blindly, hoping that this path will lead me to the end of the roads. Oh, oh, lead me to the end of the roads. Oh, oh, lead me to the end of the roads. All my life, I've waited for years, hearing your voice, music to my ears. From the first moment you entered my life, just one hope.